society.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. One of the things we are going to talk about is the Living Network, which is what we've been working on for the last couple of weeks. I've been up for several hours trying to get all the emails covered. Every time someone joins, we have to approve them. What it is a number of email groups throughout the country and in Australia now. The Trans-Tasman group covers both New Zealand and Australia. And we're trying to get as many people on these groups talking to one another, meeting one another, actually physically. That's why they are a local group. Usually you can't join the group if you're from, you know, another long way off. Some of the states are put together because there are just a few people that are presently subscribed to those states. As they get more and more, we will divide the groups up so that each state has its own group. And those groups get together, introduce themselves, learn about each other, share information with each other, actually set up meetings. Now, we have people already driving distances sometimes. Sometimes, actually, we found some people that were only blocks away. Never knew it. They join the group, and they find out because they introduce themselves. They say, I'm so-and-so. I'm in this town. I have a wife and kids. Like to find other people in our area. And somebody else says, well, I'm only this far away. And you know, and then they can email each other privately, set up a meeting, meet in a coffee shop, meet anywhere they want, and get to know each other, and decide whether they want to keep knowing each other. There are a lot of good people signing on to these groups. There are some people that would not be considered good people that are probably signing on these groups. Matter of fact, I know there is at least one individual who is probably not very trustworthy, and I will give what I know about him to the members of the group. That's important. One of the things you do once you get to know that there's two or three people on the group that you like, or somebody that you seem to think has some sense, and he volunteers to be a contact minister, or you could put all kinds of different names on them. That's one name that we've used. You can vote for him by filling out a contact minister form, which is just on the net. There's links to it. Goes out in the Kingdom News list. Almost everybody who's on these individual discussion groups should be on the Kingdom News list, because you'll get extra information. Pick who you want to be this contact minister on your group. Now, if someone already has a ministry where they have a home Bible study or whatever, if two people in your home Bible study, whether they're on that group or not, can fill out the form, and you can become a contact minister for them. Everybody doesn't have to get on this group to become represented on this group, to receive the information locally. This way, you can network with other people that are either in the next town or maybe even in the next state, but not very far away. Back east, some of the states are small enough that you could be two states away and be a short distance away. out here, it's 100 miles to the first town of any size. So everybody's in a little bit different situation. North Dakota, we don't have hardly anybody in North Dakota. Now, we have lots of people who get the Kingdom News list who are in North Dakota, but they haven't signed up for the local group, so they're not going to know about the other people. Now, one of the things that also happens with these local groups is that I was talking to somebody last night, and I can't even remember. I think it was somebody in Iowa whose family lives out here in Seattle. I remember who it is now. That's one of the problems, is I can't remember who everybody is. I mean, there are thousands of people who read the Kingdom News list and who are coming to the website. And over the years, hundreds and hundreds of people have called us. I lost complete track. And I can't remember them. They remember me. They remember they've been to the website. They've liked what they've read. They think it's really important. They think other people should know about it. But, you know, what do? They read it. They tell a couple of friends. Maybe some of them go and look at it. But it's not very organized. It's kind of like a team of cats. Everybody gets preoccupied doing other things, and it's not very efficient. That's not the way the early church was. The early church was extremely efficient. In Edward Gibbon's The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, he praised the union and discipline of the early Christian. Actually, he referred to it as a republic, because it was. It was a government, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is simply the right to be ruled by God. Now, most of you out there don't have the right to be ruled by God. You are ruled by other gods. You have signed covenants with those other gods. We call those contracts today. Many of those contracts are the result of application and participation in social schemes that subject you so that you have to work for other men other than God the Father. And they may, well, we just heard a news story. Just a few minutes ago, on the break, on the radio station, about new legislation that will actually be funding abortion. I actually got a notice from a minister who used to be a minister locally here and now has a national ministry that is kind of a watchdog of political events, and notifies people what's going on, and he's quoting Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, said this morning President Obama and the Democratic leadership have ignored the moral, ethical, and financial threats of government takeover of health care. Just this week, President Obama told CBS News he didn't want to wade into the debate over whether taxpayers should be forced to pay for abortions within his health care takeover. Well, the fact is they have a bill up, Abortion Reduction Act, that they're trying to get passed, and it actually is funding some of the major abortion outfits that there are around, like Planned Parenthood. It's a sneaky way, once you get past the title, as the news report said, to fund abortion. That means that the government, who operates by exercising authority one over the other, will force you to contribute to your neighbor's abortion at the point of a gun or sword or whatever you want to call it. But it's by force, because you are compelled to pay in to their coffers, and they use that money to fund abortion. Now, governments around the world already use such monies to do all kinds of terrible things, and the people try to justify this with some sort of peculiar interpretation that Jesus said we were all to pay taxes. Well, he did, but he also said that you were not to be like the other nations. The Gentiles, that's what Gentiles means when it comes from the word ethnos. It means other nations, because he was preaching a kingdom. If you joined and got his baptism, you were a part of his government. And these are the men who say, who do not obey the decrees of Caesar, say there is another king, Jesus. Well, they had another king, Jesus. And these were appointed the kingdom, these men like Paul and, well, at least originally the apostles. And, of course, they appointed men, and they had a whole system. And that's what we write about in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, how that system worked, and in the Free Church Report, which you can download both of those books free on the net. We also wrote the book, Covenants of the Gods, which shows you this contractual nature of government. You give power every day by this application, praying to the government to provide you with benefits. And if they can provide you with benefits and force you to contribute to your neighbor's benefit, what should have been for your welfare becomes a snare, which Paul told us when he quoted David, who had also told us this, which is just an extension of Proverbs that also told us, when you sit in with a ruler, be a man of appetite. In other words, you want those benefits. Put a knife to your throat because he's serving you deceitful meats. That's why Proverbs also tells you, consent not, because they lurk privately for blood. What are they talking about? They're talking about the ability of government to take from you and give to somebody else. When you give that power to men, even good men like Saul, it corrupts them. Good men like David, it corrupts them. And unless they're very repentant, they will just simply be corrupted more and more. So the tyrants that we are creating in the world today are a product of our own sloth, which Proverbs also tells you, the slothful shall be under tribute. And that's what your taxes are. They are tribute. They are excise taxes on your labor, on your land, everything. They're called victigal in the Latin. We call it tribute today. We also call it income tax and property tax today. Even the stickers on your car are an excise tax, a tax on use. That's all usury, forbidden in the Bible originally, never been allowed. Even Christ did not encourage it. He said it'd be better off at one point that you do something as bad as usury than to be the way that you are. Well, the fact is today, your average Christian is exactly like the Pharisees of old. They say they believe in Jesus, but they're not doing the things that Jesus said. They don't love their neighbor. They actually have hired the government to force their neighbor to contribute to their personal welfare. They themselves now go into bondage and are forced to pay into the welfare of others. And now it becomes a welfare benefit to have an abortion. This is what's going on. And what Christ was doing, because these same things were happening at the time he was walking to Judea, as he was offering an alternative system, operating by faith, hope, and charity, and then eventually got the people cast out of the system created by the Pharisees of his day. Pharisees of our day are called Christians. You can call yourself a Christian too, and I don't mind using that word, but the fact is most Christians are more like the Pharisees than they are like the early Christians, because they pray to, on a day-to-day basis, as a matter of policy, to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other for their personal welfare. And Christ said, it is not to be that way with you. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but your average Christian never hears those statements because they go to government churches. 501c3 incorporated churches who have ministers in them. They have gone to 501c3 incorporated seminaries to learn to be good ministers of God. As a matter of fact, they won't even marry you unless they go down and get authority by the state to do so. When they do that, they are literally officers of the state. Now, we have a wedding coming up in New York, and we've been trying to get a minister to facilitate that union, because the church doesn't marry you, you marry each other. Now, when you marry by the authority of the state does marry you, and they are actually a party to your union, and they will exercise authority accordingly. And their authority includes divorce on demand, just like abortion on demand. And so you might consider reading Holy Matrimony versus Marriage, which we explains how this works, or the International Acceptance of Holy Matrimony, which is simply a union where you covenant one with each other, and the matron is bound to her spouse as one flesh. They are no longer twain, but one flesh. That is a legal, it's actually even a civil document, because of the fact it is done by two civilians, witnesses, who recognize your union. It's a contract, and you have a right to contract, and that right shall not be impaired by the state. What's happened now, though, is the states believe that they have a plenipotentiary right to all control of all marriages. Well, marriages as defined by the state, they certainly do. Those definitions came along because there were people who wanted to get married who didn't go to church, and therefore they wanted to have this relationship where they were bound by some other group, and that became the state legislature, and they become now a party to your union. So anyway, that's another whole topic, but the point is these networks are to become your local congregations. I mean, like every day, numerous people are signing up and joining on. What you need to do once you sign up and join on is talk to one another, introduce yourself, explain who you are to some degree so that you can start meeting other people. Now, again, a large number of these people really don't understand the kingdom. It is very easy to find people who are in love with freedom. Very easy to find people who want to be free. That's not hard to find people who want to be free, to do what is right in their own eyes. Remember, there was no king in Israel for hundreds of years. They had no compulsory taxes. Even tithing was not a compulsory tax. Yes, God said you should do that, but that was between you and God. There was no Levites kicking in your door to collect your tithing, which was the tax that supported the Levites, and the Levites were your health, education, and welfare. They operated and maintained the social welfare system of the government of Israel. That's how they operate. That is the way it works for you in the kingdom of God. Because you're living by faith, hope, and charity, not force, fear, and compliance. This is very important. Distinction between the government of God and the government of men that does contrary to the ways of God. Many people say they love Jesus. Many people say they believe in Jesus. But that was true even at the time of Christ. And Christ said, what did he say? Not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who doeth the will of the Father. So are these people doing the will of the Father? Yes, some are. Some would like to if they had ministries that would actually teach them the gospel of the kingdom, but they're not being taught that. They're being taught a watered-down gospel. Everybody who got the baptism of Christ was kicked out of the welfare system of Judea at that time because that was what they called Corban. Corban means sacrifice. Your sacrifice was collected at the point of a sword. Those are the people who live by the sword, people who belong to such welfare systems, because they are glad to have men to come and force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. That's not living by love. That's not loving your neighbor. That's living by the sword, and those who live by the sword shall die by the sword, and those who force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare will be forced by their neighbor to contribute to their neighbor's welfare. Unfortunately, most of the people today, the same as it was at the time of Christ, same as it was at the time of Noah, most of the people today do not love their neighbor as themselves. They love themselves. They do not love God the Father. They love themselves. They love what makes them comfortable, what makes them feel good. And that is what is going on in the world today under the guise of Christianity. So we encourage everybody to join those local networks, join the Kingdom News List, the Living Stones Kingdom News List, all the same thing. There's one list. We have several different types of emails that go out, but there's one list that goes out to everybody. And start expanding the kingdom. If you already have an existing congregation, you should become a part of his church. Now, you can keep your own name. We don't regulate any authority. We put together a very simple way that you can become a church of record, and you can get the coverture of the work that we've done. We've spent thousands and thousands of hours, tens of thousands of dollars. We have volumes of information. We have a great deal of things that are not on the net, but you would spend an awful lot of time trying to read all the things that we do make available. But we understand not only how the church worked in the early days, we understand how the church can work today to be those men who are separate, to be those men who conform to Christ, because Christ was showing you how to be free in the heart of the Roman Empire. That's why the early church was called a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire by historians. How it worked is not how your church on the street corner works today. They have changed the look of the church. They have changed the mission of the church. They have watered down the gospel. They have dunked people in water and got you to believe in an image of Christ that is inadequate. So that you are actually, as a day-to-day policy of your life, violating the very basic instructions of Christ and failing to love your neighbor, but actually forcing your neighbor at the point of a sword, at the point of a gun, to contribute to your welfare. This is an abomination. This is how far Christianity has come from the true Christianity. So those of you who are listening that are on these local groups, you need to chat with one another. You need to introduce yourself. You need to pick a contact minister. Like I said, if you already have a church, you already have a congregation, you can become a part of his church very simply. We will not exercise authority. We will show you how you can hold land. We can show you how to operate as a church, to have bank accounts for pass-through purposes of funds, that you move funds around in the world today without any numbers of the state whatsoever. That's already approved by the federal government. We can show you how to do that. But you have to really want to do the work of Christ. You don't have to conform to me, but you have to conform to Christ for me to help you out. If you want to go it alone, most of the information is available up there. But that isn't the way Christ operated. Christ said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name. And he wasn't talking about Yeshua or Jesus or Yahweh or any of those things. When he says name, he means the character of God. Not the characters of the spelling of a word that we need. Because remember, originally God was the God of no name. That's what Moses said, I need some sort of a name to call you. But he was the God of no name. He didn't need a name. So his name isn't Yahweh. His name is that I am that I am. That's it, period. Why does he need a name? He doesn't need an ID card. Who named him? His father? God the Father? Named God the Father? Not going to work that way. We have to move according to the character of God the Father, which is to love one another as he loves us. And we'll talk more about how we can do that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget, we have a backup, FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So the key of the kingdom is to love thy neighbor as thyself. It was really actually an astounding thing to me when I was reading the Bible and heard that that was not originally stated by Jesus Christ. We get an idea that the Old Testament was something, a vengeful God, a God of law, and you had to do this or whatever, it's a distorted view and from what we read in the Old Testament today and the way in which it's presented to us today, because the reality is that Moses and Jesus were in agreement. Moses said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Moses did say eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but those were ceiling limits, judicial ceiling limits. In other words, you couldn't kill somebody because they poked out your eye. Just heard on a news story at the beginning of the program where somebody was convicted of manslaughter because he killed somebody. He actually evidently somehow or other hit him in the back of the head after a game. And I don't know what he hit him with, as a baseball bat or whatever, but he was knocked unconscious and died from the injury the next day. Well, that's actually spoken about in the law of Moses, that's criminal negligence. It's homicide by criminal negligence. It wasn't his intent to kill the guy, but he hit the guy and the guy died. And he is held responsible for that. What Moses was doing with his statutes was not creating laws that you had to obey or God would punish you. He was laying out the principle of the concepts, the precepts of God's law, explaining to the people with these statutory statements how God's law operated. Nobody was going to get into heaven or the kingdom of heaven because they crossed every T and dotted every I and followed every rule of the 700 laws that were written down by Moses, 700 or so. I mean, there's a different count, how people count them up. Most people haven't even got the Ten Commandments figured out. They got it all mixed up because they turn explanations of one commandment into a commandment. different churches have different ways of calculating it up, but I don't think any of them have it actually right, because they aren't actually numbered in the book. But there is basic principles that are expressed in those Ten Commandments that, everybody should understand, like Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. It isn't necessarily not walking so many steps on Shabbat, on what we call Saturday, or what many people call Saturday. It isn't following some sort of ritual and then leaving off what Jesus called the weightier matter. Sabbath was made for man. And really, you can't keep the Sabbath holy if you're in debt up to your ears. If you're in debt up to your ears, it's because you haven't been keeping the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath says, work 6 days and take your rest. It doesn't say, take your rest on Sunday and then owe 6 days of labor to pay for what the day off you took. It's like people going down borrowing money to take a vacation. No, you earn the money, then you take the vacation. I know young people that were sitting in apartments paying rent on furniture they were making payments on, watching a TV they're making payments on, driving cars to work that they make payments on. They both have to go to work, and they don't have enough money for child care, and they're wondering what's going on. Well, they're not keeping the Sabbath. They're not working first, Well, our first couch, I think we got it for $7. It was at a thrift store. Not a thrift store, but a garage sale. The table in our house we made out of lumber that somebody was throwing away. Leftover lumber and other wood that somebody was throwing away. And we still use it, and people compliment us on the table when they come. Oh, that's such an unusual table. Made out of slab wood and some 2x10s that we had laying around, laminated together. That's our dining room table. It's got all my kids' names carved on the bottom, and it's got my grandkids' names carved on the bottom. But it was paid for the day we brought it into the house. We have to take it apart in order to get it in the house because it's so big. And the chairs are all custom-made for the table because the table's higher than most tables. Actually, you can work at the table like you can a counter. Most tables are like 32 inches, and this is 36 inches. So we had to make the chairs taller. Most people, their feet dangle off the ground when they sit in the chair. With us, it's not so. We're tall people. But the point is keeping the Sabbath is paying for things by earning them first. I mean, that's not all there is to the Sabbath, but that is certainly a part of the Sabbath. There's many aspects to it, and that's why there's explanations there explaining these things and how this works, like honoring the father and thy mother. There's almost nobody who honors their father and their mother anymore. They honor the federal government because they pay in their korban to the federal government and say that that is their offering, to honor their father and their mother. And their father and mother is taken care of by Social Security and old age welfare benefits. I don't even know all the things. But it's clearly benefactors who exercise authority that provide those benefits. Contrary, Christ said it wasn't to be that way with you, but it is that way with all these Christians. And because of what should have been for their welfare has become a snare. Now, one of the things that we just sent out an email to the Kingdom News List the other night. If you didn't get it and you're on the Kingdom News List, let us know, because there's evidently someone is blocking the email. We're having trouble with that. Okay, so anybody who sends out this many, I mean, it takes like 2.5 hours to send out all these emails. So there are outfits that are blocking that because they think it's spam, and you have to notify your server that's not spam. Stop putting it in my spam folder, but let me see it. I'm subscribed to that. Everybody can unsubscribe simply by pushing the button at the very bottom of the email. But in the email, we explain a little bit about these contract ministers and where the election form is. We show there's a link to the Local Living Network, which is the Kingdom News List. We talk about articles that are going to be coming up. What can a contact minister do for me? How can a broad network help? And another article, how do I find people on the network map? So we'll explain all that. Also, Canada. Now, we've had a couple of new sign-ups for Canada. I'm not sure whether they're all talking with each other. One fellow, Kennedy, who's very active there and probably should be the contact minister if everybody would get their feeding gear in Canada. Colorado is one of our largest groups, and they're hardly even talking to each other. I'll be on a Colorado radio station Wednesday, which is also will be broadcast on First Amendment. It'll be Lion Radio for those of you in Colorado. And it'll be in the afternoon. I have to go on around 3, so whatever time that would be in Colorado, which would be Mountain Standard Time, so it'd be 1 hour difference. It'll be on the Randy Yarborough Show. But Colorado's not talking to one another. They're not doing this. And I'm not going to drag people into this. I will give them some gentle nudging and encourage them to do what they need to do to meet one another. But they have to do it. And that's why I've set this up. I mean, a number of people have suggested, oh, well, let's put this on another, you know, one of these bells and whistles e-groups, you know. I've got lots of those, Yahoo groups. And people can put up pictures. And then one of the very first responses, these are natural responses, I understand. And I'm not faulting the people, but I'm showing what takes place is they said that would give them more of a feel of a community, a group. Well, that's very dangerous, and this is one of the phenomena that have come about because of the Internet. People are on an email group, which is a virtual community, and they think they're actually in a real, actual community. Well, they're not. That's why we've gone to the local group, because if you're in trouble in Rhode Island, if you need somebody to marry you in New York, I can't jump on a plane all the time and fly over there. And that's exactly what they would like to do. And I don't mind doing that. I would do that. But it is so much more necessary that you form these local congregations because you're going to need that congregational support in the days to come for a lot more reasons than simply getting married. We are facing one of the greatest economic disasters in the history of the, you know, our known history of the world. This will be greater than the famines that struck Rome. Greater than the pestilence that struck Egypt. More people will die in the future coming events. In second to the last email that went out to the Kingdom News List, it was mentioned Trans-Tasman on the move or something to that effect. I can't remember what I finally settled on. But there was an earthquake in New Zealand that actually made New Zealand bigger. And also moved it a foot closer to Australia. Whole continent went a foot closer to Australia. You haven't seen anything yet. There are precursors for the last 48, almost more hours all along the coast of California down to Mexico for an earthquake. Now, they're not extremely strong, but there's definitely activity going on there. We have people monitoring those precursors on a 24-hour basis. We have all kinds of things going on. And the fact is, you, in your local area, you may know all kinds of things. What do you do about Lyme disease? That's one of the discussions on one of our health groups and prep groups has been going on. There are all kinds of alternatives to do. Who do you go to? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Obama? Who's going to help you? FEMA? No, you need to learn to help yourself. And that's what these groups are eventually leading to. And we will guide you through that as you wish to move forward. But moving forward means that you have to introduce yourself, make contact, call each other up, talk with one another, report back to the group. I and so-and-so talked for an hour and a half on the phone. We hit it off really well. We drove to such and such a place and had coffee. We did this, we did that, and encourage others to do the same. Start meeting, start getting along. Don't get on long diatribes of all your dogmas and doctrines that you think are important. Stick to the basics. Do you love one another? Do you care about one another? Are you Minutemen for Christ? Will you be there if they're in trouble, if they need help? They need to have witnesses for a marriage. Are you going to be there for them? We got groups that are talking about paying property to set up as a retreat ground. A dozen families can come together and actually buy property outside the city that grows food, maybe even has buildings on it, in a good, strong community. They can continue to work in the city, but be ready to leave on a moment's notice if things got really bad and they have some place to go to. One community can be hit hard and another community still be fairly well intact. If you're in the network, we can show you where those communities are. We can introduce you to those communities, and that's the purpose of one of the purposes of your contact minister. He will be linked with those other communities. He will go and visit those other people, learn how they're doing things. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to do everything. You have to be a person of initiative. You're supposed to be seeking the kingdom. I'm not going to fix it up for you. I mean, we've done a huge amount of work. We've got a huge amount of information. We have a huge amount of preparation and things that we can offer you in different states and different countries that can help you seek the kingdom of heaven. But you have to do it. And that's one of the things for years I've been doing almost everything for everybody. It's been like pulling teeth to get some people involved. I mean, just getting a phone hooked up seemed to be a federal case. All of a sudden, they couldn't do it. I had to go in and intervene to get it hooked up for them because we do it without any numbers. And they said, well, wait a minute, you have to have a number. But no, you don't, not if you're a church. How that kingdom worked, Christ was setting up something that was amazingly clever. Amazingly clever. And then I discovered that he wasn't doing anything different than Moses was doing, and Moses wasn't doing anything different than Abraham was doing. You wouldn't know that from reading the Bible today, because you've gone to the Pharisees and said, what does this mean? And why are you asking the Pharisees? Why are you asking the people who have delivered you into bondage, what does the Bible mean? Now, it's all there, still in the book. And this is what we're showing you. But if I show you, what are you going to do about it? Do you care enough about your neighbor to find out who he is? There are people probably within a block of you that would love to seek the kingdom if somebody told them about it. And that's what our website is here. Somebody wanted to know in one of the groups, well, how do you introduce this stuff? Well, everybody's different. Every moment is different. We've written all kinds of articles. We've got an outline page on all of our websites, hisholychurch.info or .net or .org. You can go there, go to the outline page, and it shows you list and list of article. Info is the best site to go to because that's the one we keep most up to date. This is a 24-hour job, but I've got at least four 24-hour jobs. And by the way, people who want to call me right after the show, I'm going to be gone because I got an emergency call just before this. We went on the air, and I'm going to have to go help somebody out. So I won't be here. But if you have the network, you can work on that. Work on your local network. I can't come and help you when there isn't any food in the store. I'm not going to be able to help you in New York and in Wisconsin and Texas or Colorado. But you can help each other. And if you network together for people who are seeking the kingdom, a government that operates on love, on faith, on hope, not on force, fear, and compliance. You know, I could tell you about things that are going to happen in the future. I could be a doom and gloom. A lot of money in that. You really get the people listening and sending you contributions. But I'm not going to do that because what that does is that attracts all the people who are motivated out of fear. You don't really want to be in a congregation with nine other guys that are motivated out of fear to come together. You want to be with nine other guys motivated out of love. Christ knew that. Moses knew that. Abraham knew that. That's why he created his altars of sacrifice, which was a community welfare system. The altars weren't made of dead stone, but living stone. And the sacrifices were to maintain the truly needy of your community, a community that cared as much about each other as they do themselves. That's the kingdom of heaven. You need other ID? Well, once you form the congregation, we'll show you how to do that. We fly with church ID because the church is a government. There's a lot more that you're going to need in the future. And I could tell you all about that, but then I'd get over into that doom and gloom stuff that would scare the pants off you. I don't want you to come here if you're scared to death. I want you to come with us and join in the name of Christ, which is a name not of fear, but of love, of patience, of men who will be minutemen for you. If you have a need, they will be there for you because it's in their nature to be that way. Like I said, it's easy to find men who want to be free. It's hard to find men who want you to be free as much as they want to be free. And the ministers, you have to want your neighbor to be free more than you want your own freedom. Because that's Christ. Christ gave up his life so that you might have life more abundant. So if you're going to be a minister of Christ, you have to have that same spirit. You can't have the spirit of pride and envy. You can't have that and be a minister of Christ. You have to have the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of love. That's the kind of ministry you need, not one that needs to be looked up to or put on a pedestal. If a minister, you know, if a minister is criticized and that dashes his heart, oh my gosh, they criticized me, and he now becomes depressed. He's not suitable for the ministry. He will not be able to stand what this ministry is all about. You don't become a part of His Holy Church because the world will accept you. You become a part of His Holy Church because you love Christ, knowing that the world will reject you. Now, we have tools where even though you're rejected by the world, you will be accepted by many. And you'll have people saying, well, you know, yeah, the rule says this, but I'm going to let these guys go. And with the Holy Spirit as your comforter, that number will increase by 10. Because the wicked will not be able to stand against you. I could tell you a story that would make your hair curl, but we don't have enough time because we're getting near the end of the hour. So if you haven't joined the Kingdom News list, do so. If you haven't joined, you do that. You should get an auto-respond that will come and tell you about how to join on the local network. If you go to the website, you'll see a little guy up there at the top of the page throwing out a net. That's the network deal. You go there to find your local network and click on that in the drop-down menu. I can't even remember how it looks. I see. I can go up to the top of this page, go to the guy with a net. That says local groups. Go down to that, click on local groups. There's a couple of articles there, Fractal Networking, Purpose, and Hope. The Audacity of Hope, that's the article. You'll love that. The Audacity of Hope often requires the audacity of Nope. That's right, Nope, N-O-P-E. You have to just say no to the benefits of the world. Now, that's the process. You're not going to be able to just jump out of the system. It's a matter of seeking an alternative system, putting it in place, getting it working, functioning. Get on those local networks, introduce yourself, talk to one another, go to the trouble of meeting one another. And yes, he's going to be different than you. He's going to have different ideas than you. If you're going to join the network and expect everybody to conform to your personal doctrine and dogma, your personal private interpretation, then you don't really love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what you need. Nobody's going to get into heaven because they got their doctrine all ironed out and perfect in a row and they've got their catechism all memorized. That isn't going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. And Christ makes a parable clearly stating that. Because he says, you come into the kingdom. Now, the ones that have all their doctrine and they're doing everything in name of Christ, supposedly, at least using his, you know, Messiah Christ, that's all the same word that this Christos means, anointed. Messiah means anointed. Anointed means anointed. So you can call him any of those things, which basically means he's the king, because the kings were all anointed. The kings chosen by God were anointed by God. And we anoint them with oil because of the fact that that's our custom, but not a crown. Because our king, ultimately, is Christ. We don't have rulers that exercise authority. We have rulers who are servants. So anyway, go to that website, join those groups, start coming together with each other, blessing each other with your presence, explaining each other what you can do, what you would like to do, what you would like to achieve. Now, I imagine that more than half of everybody who is already on the group will eventually fall away. That's okay. They can come and go as they wish. You pick a contact minister one day and you find them not doing the job, you can pick another one the next day. You don't have to wait 4 years. There's no voter fraud because you know exactly who you picked. And he's working for you. If there are 20 people on a group and 11 of them pick a guy, that doesn't make him the other 9 contact ministers. The other 9 have to pick their own. That's the way it works. It's a democracy of love, not a democracy of force. Anyway, till we meet again, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.